It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you will get first look at all of our op-eds and our most recent podcasts. And then those do go over to the website. There will be a great op-ed in there this weekend. And the author is in studio with me. That is millennial and author, and that is Alan Thomas. And you've written a really important piece regarding compassionate student loan forgiveness. We'll talk about that in the third and fourth segment.
Thanks, as always, for having me on.
It's so great to have you here. And we'll talk with Casper Stockham in the second segment. He is running for Colorado State GOP chair. And I want all of you to know that any candidate, no matter who they are, if they reach out to me, I will put them on the air so that we can talk with them about their particular candidacy. I'm excited to talk with Casper Stockham in the second segment on that. We'll go through some headlines here. And I so appreciate each and every one of you for joining us. We are searching for truth and clarity as we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And for socialism is not about free stuff. The free stuff is the carrot that they use to get you to vote for socialism. But ultimately, both socialism, communism, and capitalism, there has to be workers, there has to be producers, people that are doing things. But under capitalism, the incentives that people have property rights and that they get to keep most of the fruits of their labor under the American idea is what has created this robust American experiment, Alan Thomas, where people get to keep most of the fruits of their labor under socialism and communism. The state or the corporations actually get to keep most of the fruits of people's labor. And that's why it's not sustainable. It doesn't work.
Well, it's also not based on voluntary exchange, right?
Right.
You're not forced to buy anything I don't want to. I'm not going to have to walk out of this building and be forced to buy breakfast across the street.
Car.
I can go wherever I want, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why it's dramatically impacted and changed the world for the better. And it's helped out even the poorest of the poor.
The American idea.
In ways that we can't even put stats to.
And Alan, I feel that the big producing class here in America is really been under attack, particularly with all of this overreach under the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. The big guys kept them open, the little guys, all these rules and regulations. And when I now go by, as Polis has taken us in Colorado, and all these health departments have taken us from one of the top 10 economies to one of the bottom 5 economies in the country, all because of their decisions, it actually breaks my heart. I'm seeing, all the money that was spent on these restaurants trying to get open, where they were making outside, inside, and inside, outside. You know, I mean, how much money did that cost? So, Producer Steve, you are shaking your head, and thank you to this team I get to work with. It's Steve, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and Zach. What? That is a funny look on your face.
Well, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. I'm wondering, as you guys are spelling this out, are we seeing the perfect storm? Knowing what's it called, the Great Reset?
Mm-hmm.
One of their mandates is to bring down Western
civilization,
economies, and all that. COVID-19 is just a tool in all that. If you want to, take it all the way through to its conclusion. So, hey, here we are.
Here we are. And the interesting thing about 2020 is so many of these things, I think, were percolating underneath the surface. And we couldn't quite put our finger on it. I remember people, they had coexist or tolerance, but they didn't seem like they really wanted to coexist or be tolerant of me. I was fine because in America, I think we need to have a battle of ideas. But now, Alan, we realize they weren't really about tolerance and coexisting. They're about canceling you if you don't agree with them.
Well, and it's just the perfect example of ideas have consequences. And this idea that the government is a good entity and will protect you and help you out, I think has shocked the number of people when, you know, we've been saying for years, hey, the government has a proper role and we need to restrict it. We need to chain it down and bind it. Most people have been advocating for more government and having the government in their life and protecting them. And we're seeing the stark reality of what that looks like. And it's communicating that and getting it across and saying, hey, look, the American founding, the American idea is this wonderful, great thing. Your idea of more government, progressive government, is a horrible idea. And you're kind of reaping the actions of what you wanted.
Now, I know Steve and I talk a lot about this. Steve particularly is, it seems like a lot of people haven't been paying attention, don't understand. But I'm starting to feel that people are paying attention. What's your experience, Alan?
Well, I think COVID was definitely one of those examples. You see tons of middle-class people and people who advocated for more government. Suddenly, when their jobs are gone, they get a little bit more interested in, mm-hmm. wait, why did my job just disappear? Mm-hmm. Why is my quality of life drastically declining? And we need to come alongside them and say, we're here for you. Here's our solution, and it's a good solution. And this idea of more government, and the funny thing is people who advocate for more government, the government creates a problem, and then they want more government to fix it.
I know.
It's like, let's stop advocating for government fixing its own problems. Let's get government out of the issue in the first place.
Totally agree. So we are calling for Colorado to open with no restrictions and get government out of all of this. And that's why we search for truth and clarity here. And really do recommend that people go to my website, and your op-ed will be there after we send out the newsletter this weekend. Also, we'll have a couple of great podcasts. Dr. Jill Vecchio and I had a conversation yesterday where she went through how we got to where we are. Fascinating conversation. And then also did a podcast, I think it was on Thursday, with Kevin Sorbo. I guess it was Wednesday. You know him, Hollywood star. He now does all these family-friendly movies. He's independent because it's difficult being a conservative in Hollywood. And he just recently got canceled twice by Facebook. 500,000 followers. Hey, Facebook, let people make their own choice. Remember how the left was always about choice? That's what they said. There's only one thing that they have choice on, and that's abortion. Everything else, they want to dictate on that. You look like you want to say something, Producer Steve.
And I'm not even sure there's a choice on that one either anymore. I don't know. You guys are touching on all these great things, and something that Alan just said is trying to get people's awareness up. And here's a great opportunity right in front of us. This gas station that we pass on the way in, mm-hmm. every morning on Parker Road, mm-hmm. the price of gas right now, gasoline, is 30 cents higher today than it was on January 1st. There's a great way of saying, hey, you're not seem to be totally aware of what's going on around you. Have you filled up your tank lately? Hey, do you see what's happening to you?
Well, and energy prices, hopefully people are starting to realize that affordable, reliable, and efficient and abundant energy, which we get from fossil fuels, really helps us live our lives and prosper and thrive. And it used to be, don't mess with Texas. Right now, there's a big mess in Texas with the New Green Deal doesn't work. And I can't even imagine the amount of money. Lives have been lost because of this. And then the amount of money with the frozen pipes. And I mean, it is a mess. The New Green Deal doesn't work. And Biden and Harris and that whole regime wants to bring that to everybody. And I think, again, Alan, I think a lot of people are paying attention now.
Something is, I'm sorry, Alan, cut in here, as simple as water, drinking water right now is a crisis in Texas. Because the processing plants, the filtration plants are down. So drinking water is a big deal, and the shelves are empty.
And, well, Venezuela was a thriving economy in the 70s, and because of policy, they got to a point where there was a shortage of everything. We're seeing the same. We're going to get through this thing in Texas because capitalism will step in and solve the problem, Alan Thomas.
As it always does.
A couple of other things before we get over to Casper Stockham. You can go to my website and contribute. We are an independent voice, and we fund all this with our sponsors and with your help. And go to my website, and we'd appreciate your help and support in what we do every Monday through Friday. And then on Sundays, is our America's Veterans Stories on KLZ 560 and our 100.7 FM station. It's on from 3 to 4 p.m., and our guest this weekend is Iwo Jima, Marine veteran, World War II veteran, Tom Ram. You will not want to miss it, Steve. It's another great interview.
Yep. As we said yesterday, we talked to several people who were on the island of Iwo Jima to take it back from the Japanese. But that doesn't mean that you've heard all the story, all there is to tell.
Two guys can be in the same foxhole, and their story is totally different. And so you won't want to miss that. It's a great piece of history. Let's go to our quote for today, and it's by Jordan Peterson. He's a Canadian YouTube personality, clinical psychologist, and a professor of psychology at the University of Toronto. He began to receive widespread attention in the late 2010s for his views on cultural and political issues. He was born in 1962. And he says this, "It's in responsibility that most people find the meaning that sustains them through life. It's not in happiness. It's not in impulsive pleasure." I thought that was very interesting. And when the word happiness can mean a variety of things. I'm going to a Constitution class that John Eastman is teaching, and he talked about the word happiness. And he said that the founders meant happiness in the fullness of happiness of a life. Now I'm paraphrasing, of a moral life, pursuing meaning in life. Versus the 60s version of do whatever you want, which I don't think that really brings happiness. But I thought that was a great quote for today.
Excellent quote, and yet another example of somebody who has a great depth and insight trying to get canceled nowadays.
Okay, that's amazing. One other thing, Steve, I did want to mention this. This is the first headline that Patty put on here from the Colorado Sun. And it's apparently there's legislation possibly being discussed that every Colorado kid should get a mental health exam after enduring the coronavirus lockdown. I don't think that we should be having people just go in and assess the quote-unquote mental health of each and every kid out there, because who's to define mental health? And what I've seen is that many times there is not a Christian component in a lot of mental health professionals. And I think that that is a very important thing when we're talking about mental health. Steve, what do you think?
Well, in our pre-call, I said, the premise of it kind of strikes a chord with me, because obviously kids, think about what we've gone through in the last year, the last 12 months, and the numbers that they were so intense on putting out in front of us, COVID deaths. It's got to have an impact on a young mind. But again, it's one of those deals where the premise sounds good. How we do it is so up for grabs. And we're talking, what, 900,000 students?
Yes. And many times, many mental health professionals lean left. Not everybody, but we do see that in the mental health profession. And one of the quotes here, and this is from Colorado State Representative Daphna Mickelson-Jeanette, Colorado City Democrat, who plans to introduce legislation providing every K-12 child in Colorado an optional mental health evaluation before the start of the 2021-22 school year, says, after being quarantined in our homes and experiencing the traumas of COVID, every single one of our kids deserves to be heard and be provided a warm handoff to a qualified mental health care provider in the community should they need ongoing support. We continue to see this legislature try to take more and more power in be in charge of our children instead of our parent, the parent. We need to make sure that the parent is the person that is to be working with our kids on their mental health and helping them grow up. And I want to ask this particular representative, who exactly quarantined our kids? Who exactly is making us put masks on little kids when, in fact, there's a very low incidence of COVID among children? And, of course, we do know the actual recovery rate is over 99% anyway in this country. And now, as you said, government makes a problem. And now, Alan, they want to step in, and I don't like the solution.
Oh, and this just infuriates me to no regard, because when suicides among teens and kids in our schools were going up, they wanted to keep quarantining, and now they want to come at us with this and act like they care about our kids. Like, it just rings so false, and I just wish you could just show everyone, here's what they do. They use your own kids against you, and they try and campaign, they try and get your support by using your own kids when their policies, their procedures were the one to create this mental health problem in the first place.
So we need to be pushing back on that, and we need to continue to be more and more vocal about parental rights, and just all across the board, we need to make sure that parents are in charge of their children versus the government. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Casper Stockham is running for state GOP chair here in Colorado, and want to ask him some questions about that. Before we do that, though, a great partner of the Kim Munson Show is Hooters Restaurants. They have great wings. I love their smoked wings. They're half the calories. The Texas barbecue rub is just excellent. They have five locations, and that's Westminster, Colorado Springs, Lone Tree, Loveland, and Aurora. And go to my website, kimmunson.com, and click on their landing page. We have all their specials there. We're going to go to break. In studio is Alan Thomas. He's an author, a millennial. We're going to be talking about student loans. But when we come back, we'll talk with Casper Stockham.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests and our most recent podcast. There will be a great op-ed in there this weekend, and that is by Alan Thomas. It's about student loan forgiveness, and we're going to dissect that in the third and fourth segment. On the line with me is Casper Stockham, and he is running for Colorado State GOP chair. And we wanted to ask him why and ask what's going on in the campaign. Casper Stockham, welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
You are here. It's Friday. And Casper, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you are think you're the person to be the next Colorado GOP chair.
I would definitely do that. You know, with your last conversation about getting things open, how many Republican leaders are talking about pushing back on our tyrannical Democrat governor to open our state back up?
Well,
I don't know of any.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Okay.
Lauren Bobb is the only one. So my name is Casper Stockham, running to be the next leader of the Colorado GOP for many reasons. I'm a Gulf War veteran. I'm 100% unhyphenated American, and I love my country. And I supported President Trump with words and deeds. And I have been leading from the front on the shutting down of our state, and all the things that are going on for a long time.
Leading and on getting us back open, right? I wanted to clarify.
Getting us back open? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. You know, getting us back open, getting us back on track. I've been doing the job of chair, just not getting paid for it. So now it's time for me to step into that role officially so we can get our state back open and get our businesses back open, our churches back open, and get back to some sense of normalcy, you know, when it comes to our economy.
Now, Casper, I'll tell you one of the things that I have been frustrated about, and again, a disclaimer, any candidate that reaches out to me, I will have them on the show because we want to talk about these questions. But one of the things I've been very frustrated about, I've seen over here on the Democrat side this whole Emerge program where there is big Democrat money coming in and they are training women to run for office and to win. And they train them. Yep. They set them up with donors. They set them up with a website. And actually, it's been a very successful program because if you go to Emerge Colorado or Emerge America, you will see that many of these women that are pushing Marxist policies are graduates of Emerge. And I have been very frustrated that it seems that the GOP establishment has funneled money to just a few candidates or a few issues and left many. This last election cycle, we had a lot of young, diverse candidates. And I don't even want to, I shouldn't even say that because it's really should be the ideas that we're talking about, but they talk about diversity all the time. And we had a very diverse group of people that were stepping forward to run. And I remember talking to a very dynamic woman. And I said, did you get much help from the Colorado GOP? And she said, no. And I asked candidates that across the board. And it seems like there's been a picking and choosing of who gets money and who doesn't. Your comments on that.
Oh, that's exactly what's going on. It's been going on forever. I've run three times and never really got any decent support or even an email blast from the state party. And that's one of the things that I will fix 100% because I know what it feels like to be an orphan out here running to benefit a party that doesn't even really care that I, you know, that I win or lose. You know, it's a sad place to be for a candidate. So my motto is no county or candidate left behind. Because not only are there candidates out there that feel that way, there are entire counties that feel that way. You know, these chairs get elected, you know, and they're working this job. A lot of them are unpaid. You know, it's not even a paid position. And they're
in the counties.
Heart and soul into, mm-hmm. Yes, for the county chairs. And they're putting their heart and soul into helping their county and the candidate, be successful. And they get nothing from the state party. So that's going to all change. You know, we're going to turn, I am going to turn the state party into a customer service style organization to where we are making sure that our customers, the counties, the county chairs, the candidates, and the voters are getting help from the state party. And it's actually a pretty easy thing to do. They just, you know, somebody just needs to step up and do it.
Okay, next question. I have to tell you, I'm very frustrated when I have looked at people that, when we say Republican, I think of smaller government and that lower taxation, lower regulations, really the American idea, this idea of a constitutional republic. And it took me a while to figure out that there are Republicans that actually act a lot more like Democrats. And we've seen that with what's happened in Washington, D.C. What kind of vetting would you do? Because I've heard the term, my job is to get all Republicans elected. And as a voter, as I've seen, I voted for somebody and they're actually now acting like a progressive Democrat. I'm not that interested in just all Republicans. I want to make sure it's somebody that loves the American idea and loves America.
Well, and here's the thing about the state party position. In the bylaws, they are not supposed to do any type of vetting to that level. That should really come from the people, the voters should be doing the vetting. They should be understanding who they're voting for. You know, the state party is supposed to be neutral in these elections. The problem is they're not neutral. They're vetting in the opposite direction. You know, they're vetting the cronies. You know, they're elevating the people that they think are the ones that should be representing us, and it's almost the exact opposite. So I actually don't want the state party to do much of any betting at all. I want the voters to be deciding. Now, here's what the state party can do. The state party can have something we stand for. You know, so what are the five pillars or the three pillars that we stand on, and say, look, all of our candidates should be representing these things, the Constitution, you know, the Republican Party platform, and so forth. So we can make sure that the voters know what we stand for, and then it's going to be a very easy comparison when they're looking at the candidates. Okay, does this candidate support the Constitution? Well, not really. Okay, well, you know, they may not be a good candidate for the Republican Party. So, and another thing about the training, I'm doing the training right now through my organization called America First Republicans, and we are a merged version. We do the same thing that Emerge does on the Democrat side. We do it on the Republican side, and we're not getting really any support from any established Republican. All of our support is coming from grassroots people that see the need and are helping us fulfill it.
Okay. Now, Casper, another question. Apparently there was some publication just recently regarding some campaign questions regarding your past campaigns when you were running for Congress. Would you address that, please?
Absolutely. So first of all, that was an old article from last year. It was a hit piece that was initiated by a gentleman by the name of Gary Kirkland, and he went to a reporter and they wrote that piece that was back last year. I answered those questions immediately last year, and I did a video, I did a podcast about it. I did a written statement about it. That individual kept pushing the issue. He was calling around to all my donors, trying to get them to turn on me. And it actually wound up to be pretty good, to be honest with you. What happened was I wound up raising more money in that election than in the past elections, because once you have once people get to know who you are, you know, and somebody comes along and just starts attacking you and stuff, and they're saying, that's not the person I know. So since then, they filed a report. Last year, they filed a complaint with the FEC. So FEC reached out to us and let us know the campaign, and we sent a report back answering every last question that the FEC had. That was over 7 months ago. So the current ad that's being posted is an old ad. They just brought it back up to try to, try to take on my candidacy for chair, which is kind of funny, because there are so many campaign violations going on in the Republican Party. I mean, you know, people are getting sued left and right. I do have my own company that does a myriad of things because I'm a sole proprietorship, and I actually have talent that I can do things like build websites, do social media. My social media presence is far more than most campaigns, and I'm the one that's doing 90% of it. Now, I do hire people out to do certain things that I can't do, you know, like I just produced a new video for my campaign. I didn't do the video because, you know, it's just, I probably could do it and struggle to do it, but. Yeah.
So the question then, I think, is the allegation is misappropriation of campaign funds. Would you say that's the correct allegation?
That's the allegation, but it's totally false because as a candidate, especially running for federal office, you're allowed to take a stipend during the time you're running. And that stipend has criteria. It has to be either what you're currently making if you weren't running for office, or it could be as much as the office that you're running for, but it has to be the lesser of the two. So if I was making $1 million a year, I could only take as much as the salary for that office, so that'd be like $174,000 for Congress. But I'm making much less than that, you know. So my level was $4,500, and we never got to that as a campaign because he just didn't have enough money for that.
Okay. And then there was a reporting question, and I appreciate you addressing that. And what's your final thought you'd like to leave with listeners?
Well, you know, I've addressed that immediately, so it's not new to me. It may be new to some people didn't hear about it, but it's not something that just came out. You know, it's not breaking news. It's old news, and they brought it up again. And I addressed it then, and I'll address it now. I have no problem. I even put my phone number on the post. If anybody has a question, call me.
Okay. You know,
so I'm not even worried about that. And I'm not worried about any news person calling me, which none of them have.
Okay. What's the phone number, Casper, in case somebody does want to ask you about this?
Yeah, 720-257-9461. It's also listed on my campaign website, which is Casper4Colorado.com. My phone number is there, email is there. They can reach out to me anytime. I am very accessible. And I'm the only game changer in this race, Kim. I've been out in the field for 8 years running this race or working to save the party from itself sometimes. And we need to have election integrity. We need to grow the bench, which I'm already doing. We need to do community outreach, which I'm also already doing. And we need to transform the state party organization into a customer service outlet. And I have 20 years experience in doing that. So that's what needs to happen.
Okay. And one other question. Why? Why are you doing this?
I'm doing this because nobody else has done it. I've asked the state to do it for years, over 8 years. I've seen this problem coming up to where, you know, we're third now in line for voter registration, and we're losing every statewide race now as Republicans. I told the party 8 years ago that this was coming, and they laughed at me and thought I was crazy. Well, now we see, you know, see what the reality is. So somebody's got to do it. None of the current candidates have a plan to pull us out of this disastrous path we're on. So that's why I'm doing it, for my family, for your family, you know, for all of us here in Colorado. We need to get back to a more sane, living situation, and somebody's got to speak up.
Oh, okay.
And that somebody's me.
Casper Stockham, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate it.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. It's always good to hear Casper.
Yes, yes. And what's going on over in your world this morning? What's happening with the market?
Well, we'll see. The market's been a little bit weak the last couple of days. Nothing major, just small downs. This morning, Kim, the futures at least are showing the Dow expects to open up about 90 points. Of course, that could change between now and the time we start trading, and certainly could be different by the time the market closes today at 2 o'clock. But there have been a few leading stocks out there that have started to show some signs of fatigue. That doesn't mean, you know, big crashes in order coming or anything for sure, but it always makes it worth keeping a little bit closer eye on things, at least for the short term.
Well, I do think there's opportunity right now with the market at these highs. I'd recommend that people sit down with you and do a portfolio check. Because it's better to do it when there's not a lot of emotion going on in your own personal tummy there. How can people reach you?
Easiest way, Kim, just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Sounds good.
And when we come back, Alan Thomas is in studio. He is a millennial. He's an author. And we're going to talk about student loan forgiveness. Stay tuned.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today. Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of our most recent op-eds and podcasts. Alan Thomas' op-ed will be in there this weekend, and it's Compassionate Student Loan Forgiveness. Student loan forgiveness. We've gotten our kids into quite a pickle here. Alan Thomas, so what's your thoughts on this?
Well, we really have. And beyond that, as conservatives and freedom lovers, we've kind of messed up the marketing and the messaging too when we're talking about this issue. Whenever we hear student loan forgiveness, I on Facebook and everywhere, I kind of see conservatives get a little triggered and immediately just start ripping into people who are advocating for this and saying it's not fair and you took out the loan, you need to pay it. And while I absolutely agree, we're attacking a Band-Aid as opposed to talking about the real issue. And the real issue is student loans and the cost of tuition and why it's skyrocketed so much. And we've kind of missed this opportunity to mentor and come alongside millennials and generations behind mine who are incurring so much student loan debt. We're missing the opportunity to teach them about what we talked about earlier in the show, about how government's created this problem, and now government's trying to fix it through student loan forgiveness, and more government very rarely fixes government problems.
You think? But there has been, and I remember this, there's been a drumbeat. Go to college. You'll get a good job. You'll have a great life. And when government got into the student loan business, which was under the Obama administration, according if I recall, all of a sudden education got more and more expensive, but there was this free money, if you will, to take out these loans. I remember I was at a presentation, and it was a big meeting, and a kid got up and said that he actually was able to sit in his basement in his pajamas and take out $30,000, or, you know, a significant amount of student loan debt, and he actually used the money to travel to Europe and do canoeing. And I'm like, there's a problem if that's the situation. But then at some point in time, that is going to be due, and now we have this advocating Bernie Sanders and Biden talk about forgiving this student loan debt, and it's a real problem.
Well, and government was involved in this prior to that too. I mean, President Bush even signed student loan issues too. So This has been a very long-standing issue, and you're exactly right. How sad is it that the government can provide a $30,000 loan at the drop of a hat, but if somebody graduates high school, has a business idea, there's no opportunity for them to go sign similar loans. And the whole picture I tried to paint in the article was exactly what you're talking about. Graduating high school, it was all about where you're going to go to college, how it's going to open up success, it's this magic key that will unlock opportunity. I mean, I remember hearing all over, they said, if you have a college degree, you'll earn $1 million more over the course of your career than people who just graduate with a high school degree. As I was talking with my wife about this, we were reminiscing. We're both very academically inclined. Every time we sat down with the guidance counselor, there was no other option. It was what scholarships you can get, where you can go to school, what are your ACT, SAT scores, how will that help you get scholarships and grant money. Not once was it, hey, do you what future do you want? And is college the best path forward for mm-hmm. that? It was, well, you're smart, you're going to go to college, you're going to get a degree, and then you're going to get a good job. Unfortunately, that promise has fallen very flat. I think since 1990 until the mid-teens, the cost of tuition has grown 8 times faster than wages. So tuition is just skyrocketing, but the jobs that we get after college are kind of where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're reasonably priced because, well, mm-hmm. as we like to say, that's the private market talking mm-hmm. and saying, here's the value of the job. But now people are requiring degrees for things that don't even really require degrees. And we're getting these entry-level jobs and noticing, hey, I need this education degree to go teach at an elementary school or a middle school. So I'm going to get $110,000 in debt, and then I'm going to get a teacher salary. It's really no surprise that we're like, wow, we're going to have student loan debt until we're 50. And then we're going to get more student loan debt because we're going to want to send our kids to college. So it is a big issue, and we need to stop attacking the people that have gone and got these degrees. Because, yes, there are examples of mm-hmm. like the kid you have, mm-hmm. of people who don't use this opportunity to the best. But there are a large majority of people who were trying to do the best for their lives, who wanted to succeed, who have worked hard in college, who have graduated, and now they've gotten into labor force and they have this significant debt, and there's really no out for them. As I was looking up this article, it's shocking, really. Well, not really shocking. You won't find it shocking. The government changed its bankruptcy laws because when they started getting into the student loan business, they realized, wait, if people go bankrupt and they get rid of their student loans, I don't get that money back. Every bank has had to deal with that since who knows how long. But the federal government decided they didn't like that. So now if you declare bankruptcy, your student loans are exempt from that. So you'll still have your student loans even afterwards. So the government saw a perfect opportunity to say, hey, let's get involved in the student loan business. And, oh, by the way, there's no way for you to ever get out of it because we don't want to analyze risk. We don't want to see this. We just want higher education for everybody, right? That's the other campaign promise that President Obama and many of them say. Everybody should have access to a higher education. And now we have $1.7 billion in student loan debt. And it's no shock that this is now a problem that we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. I know it's a bit of a separate issue, but I just had a new thought. I'm no longer going to call it higher education. I'm going to call it higher indoctrination. Because what has happened here is, once again, the radical activist left, they're playing chess. And we're conservatives, and that conserve means to conserve this American idea that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness from God. And so they have created this real machine, if you will, have said to kids throughout K through 12, college, college, college. And when I was on city council, I remember that I think that we passed an ordinance that said police officers had to have a college degree. Well, it didn't say what degree in what. Right. It's just you had to have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
I have a semester of college, but I self-taught. I read a lot. And I'm thinking, here I am sitting on city council and saying to people that before you can even apply for this job, you might be much better qualified over here and only have a semester of college. But you don't even get a chance because we are putting in place this particular ordinance. And so we will not even let you come in and compete for that job. Why don't we leave that out there as, I want to hear what you have to say about that. And so this is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Alan Thomas regarding his piece, Compassionate Student Loan Forgiveness. And this show comes to you because my great partners, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. This weekend, you might go down and check it out. It is a great little store. There's wonderful restaurants around there as well. It's a great little trip down to Sedalia, Colorado, which is just in between Castle Rock and Littleton. And Castlegate Knife and Tool has just the best blades from throughout the world. And whether or not you're a chef or a collector or a sportsman, it's the place for you. Be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We will be right back with Alan Thomas.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Alan, the question I put on the table, and that is there's been K through 12 kids are, where are you going to go to college? Where are you going to go to college? And then, of course, my generation, we were the generation that said, my kid is going to this school. You know, it was like this competition almost between.
Because you parents. Want the best for your kid.
Right. And but the bumper stickers on the back of the car. And then policy that said that you had to have a college education in order to even apply for some of these jobs. My example was the police officer. I'm being a police officer in my town. It seemed almost like a machine where if you didn't have this piece of paper, then you need not apply. But yet we're realizing that the kid that went out and maybe went to welding school or to HVAC school, actually they were all still really needed throughout the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. But a lot of people that were in jobs that they got their college degree for maybe weren't quite as needed. They weren't considered as essential. What's your thoughts?
Well, to kind of go back a little bit, you're absolutely right. We've kind of created this artificial intelligence sort of, an artificial key saying if you have this degree, you can do this job. And it really goes hand in hand with licensure law. Government has really said, to get licensed to even perform this task, you need to have a college degree. And yet again, it's like, really, you have to go to beauty school to learn how to cut hair? That seems like something that's very experience-driven. That's something that, hey, cut a couple heads of hair. Hopefully your first couple people don't mind a bad haircut now and then. Get good at it and start charging for your services. Why does somebody need to go to beauty school to learn how to paint nails, to cut hair? Well, licensure law has now started to artificially inflate this because, you can sit back and say, well, I think government likes to get paid through student loans and likes to send kids through school and incur this debt, because the more reliant you are on government, the more government can tell you how to live your life. Well, the more they can control you, right? Mm-hmm. So licensure law definitely is very interwoven into this mix and people saying, well, this shows that you have some degree of intelligence if you have a college degree, which is complete bogus. Mm-hmm. Some of the smartest people I know have never gotten a college degree.
Mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. So you don't have
to have... Well, Steve knew him, but you didn't. But we'll let that continue on. Huh?
The other issue that's also interwoven in this is minimum wage laws. High school kids can't say, hey, what career do I want to go do? You know, maybe I want to be a nurse, maybe I want to be an MA, which may need some schooling, but why don't I go work for a local practice? Well, all of a sudden, with minimum wage laws, the local practice no longer has an incentive to hire them to try and mentor them, because they're like, Well, their work is worth $10 an hour because they have to teach you everything. This high school kid, this college kid has no experience in the workforce. They're going to have to literally teach everything. Well, they may not be worth $15 an hour, Kim. So these kids can't practice. They can't go out and find these careers and say,
that is so
interesting. Hey, am I interested in this? Should I work for a lawyer's office? Should I work for an MA's office? Should I work with these small businesses and see if I'm interested in retail or things like this? They're no longer allowed that opportunity because to the small business who's just trying to survive, they're like, well this kid's work isn't worth a minimum wage because they have no experience, no skills. I'm going to have to teach them everything. So now this mutually beneficial job that was working prior to all this mess, now all of a sudden government has come in and said, no, you can't both agree on what salary you would like to take and what salary you would like to offer, because both sides could say, no, that's not worth it to me. Right. Both sides had that opportunity. Now government has stepped in and said this, and now we have kids who go to college and don't know what they want to even do and are actually told that. I mean, I can't tell you the guidance counselors that say, hey, you can get into this school. You don't know what you want to do yet. Well, just get into the school, start taking your courses, start taking your credits, and then you'll figure out what you want to do
and
later.
And incurring your student loan debt while doing
exactly.
So.
And I just want to – I can't stress this enough. It's not that that these kids are indifferent or not motivated or not working hard. They're taking good advice, and their parents are also giving them this advice. And now it's a shock that they're taking 5-6 years to graduate. Well, they spent the first 2 years just trying to figure out what they wanted to do, or they've changed what they wanted to do because there's no avenue for them to try out different careers, to try out different things. And they're not even given that advice to even do that.
You said good advice. I'm not sure that they really did get good advice. And I always call these forced minimum wage laws the actually Youth Unemployment Act.
Yeah, exactly.
To that point, this is it, and these kids have been taught this. I mean, there is some real responsibility with politicians, bureaucrats, interested parties, parents, adults that have not said, wait a minute on this whole thing. And I think to your point in your piece is now we say, hey, you made that decision. You are responsible for that. But maybe we as a society, the message that we had been sending to these kids have responsibility in this. But I don't think writing off debt is the answer because there are people that did not incur that debt to maybe did go to trade school. Or as Steve had found a meme, it says, you're talking about forgiving student loan debt. How about my car loan? And then I saw another meme that says, all loans matter.
So I guess that point, a survey I saw said, when we bring up this fairness argument, it falls very flat. Like 82% of Democrats, they split it up ideologically, people who had student loan debt, 82% said it was fair to forgive student loans. Even 44% of Republicans in this poll said
really?
It was fair to forgive student loan debt. And so I guess the point of this article and the point I wanted to kind of get across is we need to stop addressing that issue and addressing those people, because this whole fairness argument will kind of fall flat on its face. What we need to say, it's not fair that the government got involved in the student loan business. It's not fair that government got involved in higher education and has increased the cost of tuition. Government is the problem. Let's come alongside these kids and these people who want the best for their future and say, student loan forgiveness, that's a Band-Aid. That's not going to fix anything for your kids. That's not going to fix anything for generations to come. Let's address what the real issue is, because we need to fix the actual problem as opposed to talk about the Band-Aids. And we're kind of looking at the shiny object and talking about it as opposed to saying government involvement has been horrible. More government will make it even worse. Guess what? I mean, Obama ran on decreasing the cost of tuition. And you know what happened to
it
our
skyrocketed.
The first year he was elected, it went up 3% at Keelan's University. She remembers looking at these things. I forgot to look at what my tuition was. Yeah. But even now, Heidi Ganahl made a post that the cost of tuition just went up 3% this year. She, of course, voted against it.
At CU.
At CU.
She's a regent.
Because of COVID and all that. And she said, that's very tone deaf for us to increase the cost of tuition while we're going through all of this, while parents who have been saving up, their jobs are now gone and they're still wanting to send their kids to school and create a good future for them. So we need to quit talking about student loan forgiveness, and we need to redirect, and we need to come alongside them and mentor them and say, hey, we need the proper role of government. The proper role of government is not involvement in higher education. It's not involvement in the student loan business. We need to get the government out of it, and we need the government to quit making these false promises.
Yes.
And breaking them and be kind of like an abusive relationship. They keep making these promises, keep failing them. And we need to point that out and say, look, quit going to government to fix things. Quit going to government to fix things. We need to get the government out of things.
And to that point, getting the government out of things, reducing rules and regulations and taxes will create a booming economy, which will be a way to help people get these student loans paid off. They're not going to be able to pay them off if we don't get a booming economy. And when we're looking at the people that have shut down our country, don't vote for them next time you go to the election booth. We've got just about 30 seconds. Alan, what's your final thought you want to leave with our listeners?
The final thought is there's lots of good solutions as well that we can point out that are less reliant on government. Fixing the bankruptcy law, the way government protected themselves, risk sharing with higher education institutions, allowing employers to even help out pay these student loans tax free, are all good private practice solutions that we can point to and say, look, you don't need the government. We need the government out. And we need to give opportunities to other people to help you out so you can live a good life.
Okay. Alan Thomas, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's always great. And our quote for today at the end of the show is Jordan Peterson. He says, face the demands of life voluntarily. Respond to a challenge instead of bracing for catastrophe. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.